Welcome into the All-Star Edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptoff from C70 at the Bat, at C70 on Twitter. With me, as always, Tara Wellman from Bird Seeds and Bird Tales, and at Tara Wellman on Twitter. Tara, we go into the break with the Cardinals, two games under 500. They had a chance this week, probably a couple, if you win a couple of those games that they lost, and they're at 500. Which is, you know, and they're a second-place team. They're tied with the Cubs. If you told us at the beginning of the season that they would be tied with the Cubs or a second-place team, I think we'd be ecstatic right now, wouldn't we?
Yeah, I mean, in many ways, I think that's what you would have expected. I think that just about everything else you could say about this team is not what we expected, but you could also certainly say that about the Cubs and them not being what everyone expected, and even more so the Brewers and them maybe being a little better than everyone expected. Although, I would say this, I think that, you know, the Brewers are the one team that's been able to string together some wins. Mm-hmm. But I don't know that as a team, they're enough better than either the Cubs or the Cardinals that I really feel like they have what it takes to go the distance as far as the division is concerned. I think with the Cubs and the Cardinals playing so far below expectations as far as kind of at that 500 mark, that there's certainly plenty of room to make a run for it in the second half. And I guess back to your point, if you'd have told me that the Cardinals were going to be 5.5 games out of the division race at the All-Star break and that they had not yet played good baseball for any real long stretch, that I'd feel pretty optimistic about that.
We keep talking about the Brewers, and I don't discount what you're saying. I think it's very good points there, but it kind of reminds me of a story I read about the 89 season, and the Cardinals and the Cubs were kind of battling it around. This was one of those years the Cubs were actually good before last year, and there weren't too many of those. And I guess Frank DePino, who was pitching for the Cardinals that year, kept making comments in the press. If we know, he apparently had a grudge against Don Zimmer, who was managing the team at the time. We said, we know that ball guy's going to mess it up, and we're gonna catch them, and blah, blah, blah. And everybody kind of expected that. Well, you know, eventually the Cubs clinch the division, and Don Zimmer says, tell Frank I'm all out of playoff tickets. But, you know, I say that to say we keep thinking Milwaukee's going to fall, but mm-hmm. we don't know that.
Right.
You know, we thought 3 years ago the Cardinals were going to stop hitting with runners in scoring position, and they did, but it was the playoffs before they did. You know, I mean, we see these things, and flukes happen, and Milwaukee's, I think the good thing is Milwaukee's probably not going to, you know, go out and make a huge move at the deadline to try to win this year. So if the Cubs or the Cardinals can do that, they can probably make some ground up. But, you know, like you said, they're the ones that put the wins together. They are up 5.5 where they were up, you know, 2.5, 3.5 not too long ago. They're 8-2 in their last 10. It's hard to fathom, but you never know, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the tell for a team that can make a run in the playoffs is almost how well they can handle being the team to beat. And a lot of times you see teams in the playoffs that can't handle that. That's why we see so many wild card teams that make a run in the playoffs, because it's really hard to hold on to that position. I mean, look at the Brewers just a couple of years back when they were the team to beat, and they did hold on to that spot till right at the end of the season. And then they played the Cardinals in the postseason, and it was like a completely different team. So it's hard to hold on to that spot all season. And, you know, 5.5 games seems like a pretty significant lead, but when you still have to play those division opponents, you know, that's a week.
Right.
And every team's going to have a rough week at some point. And when that can still happen within the division, that 5.5 game lead can be gone real quick. It could also double real quick because of all of those games. So there's just so many variables. I think that the Brewers pitching staff is going to it looks like it may not be as sustainable as maybe some of their offenses, but you never know what some of those young guys are going to do. We've seen that with the Cardinals in the last couple of weeks. Sometimes the least likely guys on the minor league roster are the ones that'll come up and solidify a part of the game for you. So, I mean, credit to the Brewers for just going out there and doing their thing while the Cubs and the Cardinals try to figure out what their thing is this season, besides not winning a lot of games. And they're just kind of sticking to that game plan, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, I did love the tweet that somebody put out this week. It was actually retweeted. Before this season, the Brewers have been in first place four times at the All-Star break. Two of those years, the Cardinals won the World Series. So, right. I mean, you know, it's you know, right. Maybe there's something to it. We were talking earlier, and you kind of referenced it there. You know, today, the Cardinals win a really nice game. Finally, see a good game out of Lance Lynn. It's been a little while. Maybe that could be, in theory, could be his last start in Busch Stadium. Hard to believe, but I guess it's possible. But home runs were hit by Tommy Pham, Luke Voit, Paul DeJong, three guys that were not on the starting opening day roster this year. Two of those guys, you know, didn't even show up. Well, I guess all three of them probably didn't show up until a month or so into the year. Is that kind of raises some questions about what this team is when these minor league guys, and not say for maybe Paul DeJong, not prospect guys, not huge prospect guys. I mean, Luke Voit's 26, Tommy Pham's 29. They're leading a charge for a team that was supposed to be good from veteran leadership.
Yeah, you know, I have two different sort of ideas about a team that we're watching like this, where these minor league guys who maybe aren't supposed to be the difference makers come up and end up being the difference makers for some period of time. And the first is with we kind of know what Tommy Pham is, although I think this season we're seeing maybe the best of Tommy Pham that we've seen at the major league level. I think that as far as DeJong and Voit are concerned, you see guys come up and make a splash at the minor league level. It's really hard to maintain that. I think to some extent you find yourself buying into their stories, particularly with someone like Luke Voit, who's the hometown kid. You know, the ongoing story with his grandma paying him for home run balls and, you know, things like that. It's fun and it's exciting and it's engaging, and it's brought a level of interest to the fan base, I think, as much as anything. Paul DeJong is another guy that, while I would say he was a prospect, I don't know that he's one that a lot of fans knew a whole lot about. Fun fact, I've worked a couple of times this last month with someone who went to college with Paul DeJong and spoke very highly of him, both as far as his baseball ability and his intelligence. He might give Stephen Piscotty a run for his money on the smarts factor. but anyway, I think that, back to the point, it's easy to kind of buy into these underdog stories and just continue to be impressed and infatuated to some extent with what they're doing on the field. It's another thing to kind of take a step back and try to predict or to expect that they'll be able to maintain that. The flip side of that is, as much fun as it has been to watch Tommy Pham and Luke Voit and Paul DeJong in the last couple of weeks, there's a little bit of frustration for me lingering because the Cardinals are playing better baseball, no thanks to the guys who are supposed to be their stars. You know, Dexter Fowler was on the DL. He came back in his first game back, hit a home run. Great. I think there are a lot of guys that were on that opening day roster that we could still talk about as a little bit of a disappointment because they're not playing up to the expectations that we and I would say they had for themselves. So we still don't really know what this team can be. You know, if you find a way to leave Luke Voit and Paul DeJong and Tommy Pham all on the major league roster, you're going to have to do some serious negotiating as far as moving some of these pieces. And if you don't, then you're going back to a position where you're playing with guys who are not, they're not playing to their potential and they're not necessarily contributing in the ways that these other guys are. And then you're back to a team that isn't playing good baseball. So it's been a lot of fun to watch them and to see their stories develop, but I still think it leaves a lot of questions unanswered for the second half for the Cardinals as a whole.
Yeah, I think that, I mean, you're right. I mean, just starting Friday, I mean, there's a good chance Colton Wong will be back. What do you do? I mean, we've seen that, that Matt Carpenter has his issues playing second base. Granted, Matt Carpenter has his issues playing pretty much anywhere in the infield, it feels like. So I don't know what you do there. But, I mean, it feels like he's going to have to move back to first. So, I mean, do you keep a Luke Voit for your bench? Do you send him down? You know, if you send him down, you know, people start yelling because, and again, like you said, they're fun to watch.
Yeah.
But there comes that time, you know, do you want to have a fun to watch team or do you have to have a team that, that can compete? And you can have both, don't get me wrong. But there's some difficult decisions that have to be made. And there's not like, and I told you before we started, it feels sometimes like Matt Carpenter is that clog that, that holds some of this stuff together, that if somehow he was traded, some things would lay out. But then again, like you pointed out, you know, is Luke Voit going to be able to cover first base all year, the rest of the season? Because unless you're trading for a big bat at first, Voit may be good. He may be very good, but he also hasn't been through the league but more than once. It's going to be, I think, really key to see how he goes against the Mets next week, a team that he just faced here and did pretty well against. You know, now that they've seen him, you know, what does he do there? I don't know. It's just so many different things that this roster just feels weird. I guess that's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
And we've kind of talked about it somewhat most of the year. It just doesn't feel like pieces fit right.
Right, right. Well, you know, as it relates to Matt Carpenter, I do think it's interesting that Matt Adams was traded because he was the man without a position because Matt Carpenter had to play first base. And now it seems that Matt Carpenter's kind of the man without a position because you're not going to take Jerko out of the lineup regularly. He can't play shortstop. Thankfully, they haven't tried that. He's not going to play second base regularly, or you wouldn't think, when Colton Wong comes back because that's where Colton Wong can play. So you either put him at first base and take somebody out of the lineup that's been hitting well, or you find a way to bump someone else or take Matt Carpenter himself out of the lineup. So he does seem to be sort of that key piece in sorting out the infield puzzle. But I also think that there's something to this idea that the Cardinals have a tendency to try to get the best player available, whether that's in the draft or in the trade market or in free agency. They don't necessarily target specific players for specific spots in the lineup or on the field. I think they did with Dexter Fowler. I'm not sure that that's worked out quite like they had planned, but nonetheless, you do see them. It feels like the last several years, and not just in the years where they've struggled, but even in some of the years where they've been successful, you've got guys that are playing out of position. And they may have been the best player available when they were playing at third, but they're not the best player available when they're playing somewhere else on the field. But then you end up with a bunch of mismatched pieces that you try to fit together. And I don't think that you can automatically call that flexibility and versatility, because sometimes it's just not good. And that feels a lot to me like what we're seeing with this roster this year, is that they have some good pieces. They're just not a good combination of pieces without sort of addition by subtraction in some cases, like you mentioned with Matt Carpenter. As a Matt Carpenter fan, I would be very disappointed to see his story in St. Louis end this way. But I would also like the Cardinals to be good in the second half. So, you know, sometimes you got to make those sacrifices.
Yeah, it's kind of, I guess, thinking about it as you were talking, it's kind of like one of those things where you have this recipe and everything is great stuff that you really like. But you mix it all together and it doesn't really work.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's, you know, whatever it may be. There are things that are great by themselves, but they don't go in combination with everything else. And that does feel like what we've seen a lot from this team. Now, we get to the All-Star break again. A lot of people wanted to sell. It's still not unheard of to do that. But then again, you're 5.5 games out of a team that, as we said, in theory should struggle in the second half or find, you know, has maybe already hit its high water mark. Do you go out and get a big piece and hope that it pushes you, you know, at least gives you that momentum? And what do you target?
Yeah, that is the million-dollar question, isn't it? You know, I didn't watch the post-game show for the Cardinals today, but I did see a little clip on Twitter where I believe it was Brad Thompson was asked that question on the post-game show: are the Cardinals buyers or sellers at the deadline? And he responded with yes. I kind of feel like that's my response, because I do think to some degree you can make this team better by eliminating some of the redundancy. I think that you can make this team better by sort of cementing the roles of some of these younger guys, and if nothing else, giving them a chance to show if they can stick at the big league level. You know, you're only going to see so much of that in 1 year. I think that Aledmys Diaz is the perfect example of that. 1 year is great, but repeating it is really hard. But you're never going to know what you have in Luke Voit if he doesn't get a chance to play. He's 26. It's not like there's a lot of work he can do in the minor leagues at this point. Mm-hmm. He's kind of maxed out the development at that level. So you either give him a shot or you send him back to Memphis and essentially determine that he's not worth the risk. So I think that the only way that happens with some of the young guys, or with some of the guys that maybe have been shuffled around a little bit, is that you can trade some of those pieces, maybe get some bullpen help to try to balance out that small disaster, and almost make your team better by eliminating some of the options. And I don't know that you can in the process of that, whether it's we haven't even mentioned Randall Grichuk, and quite mm-hmm. frankly, I'm not sure. You talk about a man without a position. I'm not sure that there's a future for Randall Grichuk in St. Louis, no matter how you slice it, with the way that someone like Tommy Pham is playing. But even that's a bit of a risk. I mean, he doesn't exactly have a track record of maintaining this sort of play at the big league level. So I don't know. I think that you need some redundancy just for the sake of injuries or rough patches for individual players, but the way that the Cardinals have put this roster together, I don't think it's going to allow them to succeed the way that it is. So if you can trade away some of those pieces, whether it's someone like Matt Carpenter on the infield, or someone like Randall Grichuk in the outfield, and get something that's maybe one piece mm-hmm. that fills in a specific hole in return. I know Lance Lynn is a name that a lot of people are expecting to see traded, primarily because he's going to get paid next year, and the Cardinals are probably not going to be the ones to do it. But this is a very roundabout way of saying essentially what Brad Thompson said, in that I think they'll move some pieces in order to get some clarity and some consistency in the roles that they need to be established. But I don't know if this is the year where they go out and make some big dramatic change like Josh Donaldson. because I'm not sure that they're going to be willing to move that many pieces to get a guy that maybe fixes one thing but doesn't really solve anything else. So as far as I'm concerned, there's almost a greater chance to increase the value within this team by eliminating some of the complications.
Yeah, before I get too far into that, I just happened to pull up because I realized we haven't heard much about Alamedes Diaz since he went to Memphis. There's a reason. He's hitting 171 in his 8 games down there. You know, 4 extra base hits in his 6 hits. So I guess maybe some pop is there, just nothing else is. I don't know. That's going to be something interesting to watch as well as the second half goes on. The only reason I see them going after a Donaldson type, and I don't know that they will, but I think there's been so much talk, not only about the fans, but also from Mosaloc and others, about the need for that core middle-of-the-order bat. And I don't think they make that move for this year. I mean, if it helps this year, great, obviously. But that's a move for next year. Or if they don't do somebody for Donaldson, maybe that somebody's got 2 or 3 years under control, you know, for the years going forward. I don't know if they're, you know, I think they're finally realizing they've got to get out of their comfort zone on trading prospects and trading for these big guys, because, you know, they can't develop them. They can develop good complementary pieces, but they're not developing, you know, 3 hitters that scare people. Mm-hmm. They can't necessarily buy them. They've not, you know, they've proven that, Mr. Hayward. You know, they might be able to, and obviously they may get, you know, more aggressive in the free agent market, but, you know, I don't know if they want a 1. Most of those guys are another 2 years away. I mean, it's the end of 18 before people like Bryce Harper or Manny Machado or Josh Donaldson hit the free agent market. So can you wait? Can you afford to sacrifice the rest of this year and next year waiting on that? That's an interesting question, too. So I think it just feels like they got to do something. And maybe it's not even that big, but maybe it's to bring that guy in with an edge, like they did a couple years ago with John Lackey. You know, I feel like Tommy Pham is close to that now, a guy that will tell exactly what he thinks. But Tommy Pham doesn't necessarily have the gravitas that a Carpenter or a Lackey or somebody that's been in the league for a long time has. So, you know, maybe they need that guy that'll come in and chew them. I don't know. I mean, I'm no expert in clubhouse dynamics, let me put it that way. But I don't know. I think this has the chance. I think a lot of years we've said, you know, Mo's going to go and he's going to make that, you know, get the reliever for the minor league outfielder deal. I mean, he does that. That's Mo's, and that's about all we really expect. We may talk about big deals, but we really don't expect him to do it. I kind of have a feeling that this year there's a better chance of that kind of deal than maybe ever before.
Yeah, and I will say this. While I think that I don't know, maybe I'm just a little gun shy from the last several years of not getting any help in the needing a big 3-spot hitter. But I think that you sort of mentioned this as well, that it depends on where their focus is organizationally. Which is not something we've really had to think about or to talk about with this team in quite some time, because they've been able to maintain a certain level of success while sort of backfilling from the minor leagues and then going out and getting that one player, whether it was Jason Hayward or whether it, you know, should have been Fowler this year, or when they went out and brought Carlos Beltran in, or, you know, whatever the one piece was that sort of pushed them over the edge. And they haven't had to sort of step back and consider, if we go all in this season, is that going to hurt us in 2018? Is that going to hurt us in 2019? Because we don't have the same level prospects coming up 3 years from now that we can then go out and refill any of those holes that we need to. I think this is really the first time where we're looking at a Cardinals team that has to decide whether 2017 is worth the effort. If 2017 is a team that's good enough to put enough effort into for the potential to win this year. And I don't know that we're ever going to hear an answer to that question. I think it'll just be more of what we see them doing in these moves, whether they go out and make a move that is more with the focus on being great as a team in 2018, or if it's on a move that's going to solve their problems now. And I think as a fan base, it's a little bit of I don't know, it's a little bit of a different mindset watching the team go through this, just because it's been so long since they've been in a similar situation. And I think that really is going to be what dictates how they feel like they need to make a move this year. I'm sure they'll make a move. but whether or not it's the move that everyone seems to think is necessary to really push them over the edge, or if they decide to make a move that makes them better this year, but still not really elite as far as talent is concerned, that then maybe that's a move they're making with their eyes towards a year from now or 2 years from now. And that's fine. I mean, I think every organization has to do that at some point. Mm-hmm. But it's difficult to kind of play this balance of no, we think we have a really good team that can win this year, we're just not going to make it better. That's a little bit of a tough pill to swallow for an organization that has been able to refresh its competitiveness without having to go through a really rough down year.
Yeah, we're very, very good. I mean, we're so good. I mean, we're 2 games under 500, but we're very, very good, so let's just yeah. I guess maybe our final topic, the Cardinals have announced their rotation for after the All-Star game, and maybe a little bit different than I was expecting, at least, although I hadn't given it just a whole lot of thought, so it's fair. Mike Leake will be the first one out of the gate, followed by Lance Lynn, Carlos Martinez, Adam Wainwright, and then Michael Walker. It makes sense to put Walker at the end. They're always trying to save his innings, of course, and things of that nature, but little bit surprising, unless it's to line up Martinez and maybe Lynn against the Cubs, you know, another weekend, the second weekend out. A little bit different to see Martinez not only third, but Wainwright fourth with Lynn, who just went, going, you know, right after the break.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know what the conversations were like in determining that. It's no surprise that, like you said, they'd want to give Michael Walker a little extra time. Giving Adam Wainwright a little extra time is not a bad thing at this point in his career. I mean, Martinez has struggled a little bit the last couple of times out. And, you know, maybe it's just a matter of trying to reset him a little bit, give him that extra time. It's not because his hair is blue. Let's just throw that out there. They're not moving him back in the rotation because his hair is blue. But Mike Leake has been, for the most part, pretty consistent. And, you know, Lance Lynn is, by all accounts, other than the last couple of starts, not counting today, a guy mm-hmm. that can go out and throw a bunch of pitches. So I think that I would feel more comfortable saying it's at the back end, really, about getting those guys a couple of extra days off. But arranging Leake, Lynn, and Martinez the way that they are, perhaps there's a bit more strategy in matchups down the road that that plays in there too.
I will say, looking at the schedule, if I'm right, you know, that gives Martinez the last game against Pittsburgh, but also has him opening up the series against the Cubs, which means that series against the Cubs right. a week from Friday is Martinez, Wainwright, and Walker, which... throwing Adam Wainwright in Wrigley Field, throwing Michael Walker there. I don't know.
Maybe that wasn't the part that came because of the matchups.
maybe they didn't think that all the way through, but you know, it does give a chance for Carlos, especially, to face two National League Central teams. And let's not discount the Pirates, because they're only a game and a half behind the Cardinals. I mean, they're at 42-47. You know, that first weekend, really this road trip here, three games against Pittsburgh, four games against the Mets, and then three games against the Cubs, is going to be pretty huge for the Cardinals. I think that if they come out and stumble, especially that first weekend, that very well may change the calculus of whatever is going to happen at the deadline.
Yeah, and that may be why there's still a little bit of hesitation, because it feels like this team has potential, but it's still not it's not a sure thing that they're going to be good enough to make an extra investment in, to put it quite simply. If they go out and lose the series in Pittsburgh, they lose two of those games to the Mets, all of a sudden you're looking at a team that is digging itself a much bigger hole. And the further and further you go into that second half, even if it's just after the first week, you're not going to be wanting to look up at the division any more than they are right now if you're talking about going out and making a big move for this year. So then, you know, maybe you do see what you have in some of these young guys. But I think it's going to be really interesting when Colton Wong comes back. I think there's going to have to be some pieces moved around that are probably not going to be what everybody wants to see. Colton Wong's tearing it up in Springfield, so that's good. But for him to play, there are going to be some times when other guys don't. And they're going to have to figure out how to balance that. Mike Matheny's going to have to figure out how to get guys in positions where they're going to have the best chance to be successful. And, to come in right away in a week where you have two big series against division opponents, there's going to be a lot going on. There's a lot on the line that first week.
Yeah, well, the good thing is that nobody is going to jump on Mike Matheny on his lineups. I mean, they're going to be very understanding and know why people are sitting.
Right.
So, because that's the way fan bases are.
Have you been introduced to Twitter? Because
What's that?
I think they might like to say a thing or 75 about that.
There's a little bit different opinion there, huh? Okay.
Yeah, maybe just a touch. Just barely.
Just a little bit. All right. Yeah. Tara and I will be with you next week, but till then, I do want to mention that starting tomorrow at my site, and then continuing through the week at various others, will be the Greatest Cardinals Moment Tournament getting kicked off. We're going to do that the rest of the way. It'll start then. It'll end on the last day of the season. So even if the Cardinals aren't entertaining this last few weeks, we'll have something to talk about and discuss. So check that out starting tomorrow over at C70 at the Bat. Tara and I will be with you next week, hopefully talking about a good series against the Pirates, or maybe, if nothing else, we'll know some roster moves and we'll talk about Colton Wong. And I know how much Tara likes to talk about Colton Wong, so
you are not wrong.
That's right. So look forward to next week, definitely. So for Tara, I'm Daniel. Good night.
Hey, Cardinals fans. Thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.